Please pray a moment with me. Savior of the nations, come. Virgin Son, make here your home. Marvel now, O heaven and earth, that the Lord chose such a birth. For you are the Father's Son, whose flesh the victory won. By your mighty power make whole all our ills of flesh and soul. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the text is the passage from Isaiah just read. December is a strange month. It is filled with all kinds of contrasts. The days get shorter until the 21st of this month. We face a troubled nation where one out of every 10 of our neighbors is out of work, where our society becomes less and less tolerant of Christian faith and threatens even perhaps to persecute us, where children are murdered in the womb and hurrying the death of elderly is coming into vogue, where our government gives itself the power to impose its will on churches, where speaking the truth about sexual matters is labeled hate, where the secrets of our military are exposed to the world by a single website, where determined movements of assassins attempt to kill thousands of innocents in the name of their God, yet the lights and decorations of Christmas are everywhere. The traditions of Advent call us still even today. Even in the public square, you can still hear sung hymns such as, God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we had gone astray. O tidings of comfort and joy. There's nothing new of this, of course. Ambrose, Bishop of Milan, served God in the waning years of Roman power. Not too long before his birth, Constantine the Great had declared Christianity to be the state religion of the empire. Ambrose was raised a Christian in a noble family. He was groomed to be an administrator and was sent to Milan in order to mediate between the Orthodox, the Arians, and others. Oh my. As he started to approach this job, the people were moved by his words and were consecrated him as a bishop, if you believe the stories, almost by force and against his own will. We'll have to ask the district presidents if that's the case even still today. As a courage and an assertive bishop, he would primarily be a pastor and a hymn writer. He would be an evangelist and a catechist who would be God's instrument to call to faith Saint Augustine, and many others. In his troubled world, God used him as an instrument to proclaim the gospel of comfort and joy, even in the midst of things that were unraveling right before them. In his troubled world, he would point people to Jesus, the Redeemer of the world. The world, of course, we can expect very little else of. Since Adam and Eve, every person has been tainted by sin and by the desire to seek one's own way above that of everyone else, including God. It's almost as if we want to say to God, thanks, I like your grace, I'm comforted by your forgiveness, but I just want to do things my own way, thank you. The trouble with this is it now colors every aspect of our lives. In our world is not only sin, but the power of the devil. Everywhere we look, there is some signs of chaos fighting against order, and sometimes it wins. Even in the midst of the greatest medical revolution of all time, still people die, sometimes of very, very draining and long suffering deaths. Try as we might to bail ourselves out, our debt keeps growing with every single day. No matter what we do, that debt seems to pile up. We try to make the situation better. We do all kinds of research to answer medical problems. We offer aid as a nation and as a state and as a church to people when they're in ill, but it doesn't ever seem to solve their situations or improve things very much. When we're faced with our own debts because we have perhaps wisely or unwisely spent a lot more than we actually ever have coming in, we try to find a way to negotiate those debts but yet they seem to grow with each and every day and with each and every month, and there doesn't seem to be an end to it all. No matter how hard we try, no matter what the frantic approaches we have to the situation, no matter how wise we think the cure is for our problems, it doesn't seem like we get much of anywhere other than a brief respite or maybe a season free from the problem before yet one more thing comes and blindsides us and hits us. Is it any reason why we stop in this season and with Ambrose cry out, "Savior of the nations, come"? He did come once, after all, at Christmas. And he will come someday to bring an end to all of sin, death, power, disease, and the devil. And he comes to us each and every day through his word, through the memory of our baptism, and through the body and blood of Christ, which he gives us in the sacrament. After all, he is the only one who really can solve the problem. In ancient Israel, the law appointed a responsibility to every male in the families in the tribes of Israel. Their responsibility was if someone in their family or in their tribe got into trouble, they were to redeem them, to pay the price, to bail them out of their situation. If the person was in slavery, they were obligated to pay the price to free them from slavery. If they were in debt, to buy back their property, to bring it back into the family and into the clan and into the tribe. If their brother were to die without an heir, to raise up through his wife yet another heir. I don't think we'll dwell on that one. But it was their responsibility to deal with that. In our passage today, God declares himself that family redeemer, the one who it is redeems us from the trouble we have gotten ourselves into. He redeems us not by paying our ransom price with silver or gold, but with his own precious blood, with his suffering and death, that we might be his own and be in his kingdom forever. We are now free because of that price that Jesus paid upon the cross, free from the slavery into which we were born to sin and to the devil, free from having to sin by turning to him for the strength to live through us, free forever, so that when the day comes that our lives are at an end, or when he returns in power on that last day, "Come, Lord Jesus," when that happens, we will be free forever with him in his presence to enjoy all that he has. And when things get tough, and if the economy were to get worse, or a terrorist were actually to succeed in blowing something else up, as they have from time to time in the past, as we sometimes remember on this date, what happened in Hawaii 69 years ago, or when we remember not so long ago when it was succeeded on 9/11. Should it go happen that such things were to happen again, and perhaps they will, we can remember that our Redeemer lives and that he will come on the last day. And though the worms destroy our body, yet in our flesh we will see God. That, in the end, is our joy. And so we can, with Ambrose of Milan, with all the saints before us, even in times of trouble, cry out to God, knowing that he is our Redeemer, that he will forgive us, redeem us, and make us a part of his kingdom, and that he will save us, sometimes in this world, but without a doubt, at the end of time, where there will be no more sorrow or sighing or crying or pain, for all those things will have passed away. Amen. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. Amen.